All right, so we're gonna take. Yeah, go ahead. Okay, so we're gonna come back. We're just gonna jump back for one day here to a sugya that we didn't get to before we start the next Mishnah. So it's on Vav on the days. Okay, so it's a question of the Gemara ends off about Pshara. The sugya is about Pshara, and we never went into this question really. But the question is, what's preferable, din or Pshara? Okay, happens to be a machlokas.
Oh, this is with Aaron.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So the Gemara ends off on the bottom of Vav Amud Aleph. It says, Tana Rabbanan, Kishem Shadin Bishlosha, Kach Bitzua Bishlosha. So you need three for Pshara. You should have three for Pshara. Nigma Hadin, Iata Roshoi Liv Tsoa. But once the din is concluded, you can't do pshara anymore. Once the din is concluded, you can't do pshara anymore. So Rashi says, what does it mean, nigmar din? Sha'amru, the Dayanim said, ish ploni ata zakai, ish ploni ata chayef. So he says, literally, the gemar din. It means once they come to a conclusion, there's no more I ata rashoi livtsoa. You're no longer permitted to offer some sort of a compromise settlement. Okay. So Tosas has difficulty with that. Tosas is like this. Nigmar din iata roshoi liv tsoa. Kigon shekvar diktiku bedin hetev. Ukimo gomru es hadin. Delo michzer ela ish ploni ata chayev. So Tosas doesn't want to learn that it means literally the psak was given. He says they got to the gemar din, meaning everything was done. Except for giving the final psak. The kevan din is barer kol kach, ein lahat oso laasos pshara. She'il mole haya yodeya, shen is barer dino lizuchus, lo haya misratza lipshara. Bishum inyan. So what's Tosas saying, pshat wise? It's interesting, Tosas. What's he saying, pshat wise? Din is din, right? In other words, we just got through saying before this Gemara that in order to be bound to Pshara, you need a Kinyan. But now the Gemara is saying, when are you even allowed to do Pshara? You can't do Pshara at any time. So here the Gemara is saying, once you get to the Gemara din, you no longer are allowed to do Pshara. So Rashi learns that Pshat means once the din is over, there's no more Pshara. Which is also a little strange. I mean, What pshara could there be if the din is already done? But Tosus learns like this. It means before the psak, but right before the psak, the dayanim come out to the chambers, they have already reached their conclusion, they know exactly what the din will be. At that point, Tosus is learning that the dayanim may not say, hey guys, you want to do a little pshara instead? Why? What does he say, why? He says, because since it's so clear to the dayanim, I mean, we know the din Torah between you and you. Come out, when I come out and I sit down, in my mind, I know 100% you are putter. Let's say that was my din. Let's say that's the din. You say that he owes you $100. We know we come out, and we know for sure we are about to give the psak. Zakai, you don't owe him any money. That's what we're about to say, right? So Tosa says, since you are about to say that, you don't have a right to fool him to give up what you know he's really going to get.
Saying the guy that's about to be pronounced putter would not have accepted charge at this point?
He's saying it's like a fooling. It's like fooling. Right, that's right. If he knew, he says, She'il mole hoya ain lahatoso lasos pshar. You don't have a right to fool this guy into doing pshar. Because if he knew, as a judge, she'il mole hoya yodeyesh in his barer dino lezuchus, if he knew that we all concluded that he's potter, lo haya misrata lipshara b'shominyan. No guy wants pshara when he knows he's about to be handed a din lezuchus.
Saying it's in the gibor of margin.
That's right. That's why Tosas learned pshat. He learns pshat. It doesn't mean the actual psak is handed down. That would be the conclusion of the din Torah. It will be over. And then it wouldn't really be pshara either. I mean, it would just be there's no controversy anymore. But he learns the other way, that it's halacha in the dayan. It's an interesting idea. It's halacha in the dayan that it's wrong for the dayan once he knows for sure that the way that the din is coming out. Once he knows it's clear to him that this guy will be pater, to offer him pshara would be wrong. It would be tricking him. Interesting tosis. And no guy would take that offer if he really knew what he's entitled to.
But if he did it, went for that gamble.
Ah, so if he took the chance to begin with, that would be different because nobody knows how the din is going to come out.
Yeah,
it's a gamble. But now the Dayanim know exactly how the din is going to come out. They can't offer him pshar anymore. Well, we have to define a little bit better. Yeah.
That,
in other words, Meir's question is a good question. Saying, look, from your tzad, you still don't know which way it's going to come out.
I know. He's going to make me pay $100.
You have no idea. So to you, it's still an unknown. Maybe it's the guy can make it's like let's make a deal. You don't know what's behind door number one. There definitely is something in there behind door number one. Always take the other door at the end, right? But but there's something behind door number one, and we definitely have a conclusion in our mind. But from your side, you don't know, so it's still a chance. So you'd rather mitigate your chance and go with a pshar. What's wrong with that? Because from the Dayan's perspective, that's why Tosis talks from the Dayan's perspective. It's very interesting. He's saying the Dayan, Iata Rashoy Levitsoa, means the Dayan doesn't have the right. The Dayan doesn't have the right anymore to offer compromise.
But what if they come in and ask for compromise?
I didn't get this really clear, though. Now he says like this. And then he quotes Rashi, and he says, but according to Rashi, what is it Shaykh to say? He says, Rashi says it means after the Gemara Din itself, after the Dayanim already say, you're Chayav and you're Pater. So he says, and that's true, technically speaking, when the Gemara says, Nigmar HaDin, that's what it means, in general. But he doesn't like the Pshat, because he says, Kasha, my Bitzua Shayach Hashta, Achasha Nifsak HaDin Legamri. Who's going to want to bargain? I mean, anyway, what kind of a deal is that? You're already walking out Pater, you're going to bargain? Ubidochek ye shlomar shlo yitu oso shalom lomar lo yireim anu shema ta'inu bedin. So maybe you'll say that the Dayanim are not allowed to tell the guy, look, you walked out of here pater. But we're not totally sure that Psak was right. Another base might to overturn it. So you still are in doubt. You still are in danger. You want to do a pshara and get rid of the whole thing?
That's different.
That's how he's going to have to learn. That's how he says you have to learn Rashi's pshat. In other words, what does it mean, E, F, Shar, Iata, Roshoi, Lipsoa?
Yeah, right.
Maybe they would have been clear.
In other words, let's just get the machlokas straight. In other words, according to Rashi, when it says, Iata, Roshoi, Lipsoa, it means after the Gemara Din. Anytime up till the Gemara Din, you can. Right? But then what does it mean? What does Pshara mean after a Din? How is there Pshara after a Din? Right? So it means there might be an appeal. That's basically what he's saying. Right, maybe another basin will find that we made a mistake. If another basin finds that we made a mistake, the din could be chozer. So it means to say that Dayanim are not allowed to tell him, listen, you walked out of here pater, but that doesn't mean you're 100% safe. So you want to really be safe, do a pshara. That's the way Rashi's learning. According to Tosfos, it means even after the psak was given, but you can't tell him that because you know what the psak is. And for you to tell the guy who's gonna win that he should do pshara would be a problem of tricking him. Okay, but can we clarify and define a little bit better? What is the problem of offering compromise? Offering pshara. Yeah. So in terms of definition, let's just work on our definition skills here. So, I like what you're all saying. Let's see if we can put it into a good definition. Mayor, you know what I mean? We got to put it into a definition here. I mean, I'm glad you tell me which side you like better, but we need to get a good definition for both sides. So, what would you say that, what's the definition, what are the definition of the two sides?
Well,
up till when can you do pshara according to Tosos? Or let me put it this way. What needs to exist in order for pshara to be available according to Tosos?
Uncertainty,
right? There has to be, you can give, pshara exists only in the situation of doubt. Okay, once there's no issue anymore, then there's nothing to do a pshara on. In other words, pshara is in terms of the question. Okay, we can settle the question with din or with pshara. But once the question is settled in the minds of the dayanim, pshara is no longer available. So there has to be an open issue for the dayanim to engage in a pshara on. So let's just put it, let's say that according to Tosos, there has to be an issue that's before them. But according to Rashi, what is necessary to exist for pshara? Give the psak. So Rashi says, up until you give the psak. So what happens before and after the psak? What changes? What exists before the psak and no longer exists after the psak? Yeah, the bali, the parties, the litigants, the claims. In other words, according to Rashi, as long as you have the balei dinim, as long as they exist vis-a-vis each other as balei dinim, adversaries, then pshara is available. Whereas according to Tosfos, as long as the issue is unresolved, pshara is available. Okay, now we're just focusing, you know, in a definitive way, we're framing the questions for each side.
What is Rashi again?
Rashi is it goes by the parties. Tosis it goes by the inyan, by the question, by the claims itself.
What do you mean it goes by the parties?
So those Rashi says as long as you have people engaged in din with each other, pshara is always available. So how would you say, so when is the last minute that pshara is available, or when does pshara cease to be available? When the case is over. When is the case over? When the parties are dismissed. When are the parties dismissed? When the dayanim say, this is the decision, you owe him, whatever it is. But the point is like this. Now we can take that definition and we can look and ask the question, so what is pshara then? According to Rashi, pshara is totally on the people. Whereas according to Tosos, pshara is totally on the question. So that's what Matt is saying. That now we don't just choose which side we like better. Now we can define better each side. According to Rashi, the inyan of pshara is really to make shalom bein balei dinim. That it's the real purpose, toelus of pshara is to reduce the adversarial stance of each. So it doesn't matter that in my mind I know that the issue is clear. In their minds, they're still adversaries until the last minute. So there's a kiyum in pshara to remove the adversarial nature of the parties. So until the parties have been dismissed, as long as they exist before you as adversaries, you still are allowed to offer a pshara to remove the inyan of the adversarial nature. You understand? To remove that quality of the parties. It's like pshara really is like a tikkun to the people. You come in as adversaries and you're going to leave one feeling vindicated and one feeling, dejected. Victory and the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat, as they used to say. Right? That we want to remove. We want to remove that whole situation between the people. It's really more like a social phenomenon, pshara. Whereas Tosus holds, it's a halachic alternative to din. It's a halachic alternative. It's a halachically different method of resolving a question. But once the question has been resolved in your mind completely in terms of din, there's nothing more to apply pshara to. It's already been done. Maybe we can work that side out a little bit sharper, a little better. The second, the Tosa side. I mean, Rashi side I see clearly now, right? Tosa side still needs could use a little more work. Yeah, go ahead. In other words, for Tosfos, it's another way of getting to Mishpat. It's another way of getting to justice. You can employ it in the Dayan. The role of the Dayan is to come out and deliver justice to both parties. Okay?
Yeah.
It's really in terms of the people themselves that he has a right to serve them. Through pshara, he has a right to. There's another method of din that there's another method of resolving the claim that he could offer to the parties to benefit them. But once he knows for sure that he's going to be lose, it's going to cause one person to lose. It's not a mice of mishpat anymore. I can't define exactly what it is. I think what we're saying is correct. No, let's put it this way. Tosus is learning that pshara is has to be a just alternative to din. Okay? What right do I have to go to that pshara means that in din we don't know how it's going to come out, right? So therefore, now let me put it this way: Tosis is learning that pshara is not just another completely other thing. Pshara also has to be an inyan of mishpat to the balei dinim. As Rashi is learning, pshara is like working on a different level. Pshara is really essentially working on the shalom aspect of the people, and we can look at a controversy and look at it technically and decide that we want to resolve it based on the issues, or we could say let's work it out in a way that everybody walks out happy. You understand? In other words, we're putting according to Rashi, pshara is making the individuals vis-a-vis each other the primary concern. In other words, sometimes when people fight, we say it's not so important what they're fighting about. The main problem here is that they're fighting. Right? The main problem is that they're going to be unhappy when they walk out. So pshara is saying, look, let's look at the issue backwards. Din is saying there's an argument, there's a halachic question. Was it a kinyan? Was it not a kinyan? Was it a deal? Was it not a deal? And that, of course, results in an argument between the people, right? But the issue, we don't care about the fact that they hate each other. That's not what din has nothing to do with that. Din is just a technical question of what are the halachic rights that result from this situation, okay? And pshara is looking at it the other way, saying what's coming into my courtroom? Unhappy people. Let's resolve the unhappiness, and the why are they unhappy is not so important anymore. And so Rashi's learning that the din versus pshara is the question of whether we're really working on the underlying issue to the exclusion of how the people feel about each other, or whether we're really working on the social issue or the personal issue between the parties. And trying to remove that.
That's
Rashi holds. So you're justified in, you have to sort of like look at your mandate. Okay? So the mandate of pshara is to resolve the conflict between the people. The mandate of justice is to determine strict halachic rights based on the facts that are before you. So you can always go to pshara as long as you'll be fulfilling the mandate of removing the conflict between the people. Conflict between the people exists as long as they don't have a resolution that's given to them.
Issue at hand,
the actual issue at hand is not so important. Secondary. Tosis says no. Pshara and Din are both under the question of resolving the issue. They're both methods of resolving the issue. And once halachically the issue is resolved, to the minds of the Dayanim, once the issue is resolved, there is nothing for them to do. To offer pshara at this point would be only to engage the parties as adversaries. You have no right to do that at that point. But I need one more step. There's one more step that's missing. Yeah. So this is the point I'm trying to make. Okay. In other words, it has to be. There is din. Get the recap from there. There is din, right? Din is there's the controversy, and there's din on that. There's din is one way of resolving that controversy, and that's really the halachically mandated method, din. That's the halachic reality. So, what allows you to go into pshara as an alternative to? So, what is pshara then? Pshara is an alternative method of resolving the dispute. That's fine. But Tosus holds it also has to have the quality of justice. It has to have the quality of fairness. So he's saying that we'll resolve the dispute. We can tackle the issues halachically or in a sense of fairness towards the people because it benefits them. Because it benefits them both. Sometimes there's a doubt as to how the technical halacha is going to work out, and we can be just to them both by offering an alternative. But it's part of our inyan of resolving the dispute fairly. You understand? Beis Din has an alternative method to resolve the dispute fairly. They could say, "Look, you want din? That's one way to go." But we're going to offer you, as a service to you, a fair way of resolving this dispute. But once the Beis Din you have to realize if you take pshara, you're giving up what you would have had under din. You're giving it up. There was a reality of din, and in order to take pshara, you have to relinquish everything you would have had under din. So Tosh is saying, since the whole inyan of pshara is an inyan of fairness to the balei dinim, then to force one guy to give up, when you know that one guy is giving up what he would have gotten 100% in order to take pshara, then you're no longer being fair, then that's no longer a fair and equitable way of resolving this issue. By definition, it undermines the very purpose of what pshara was trying to do. Pshara was trying to say, halacha, you know, the halacha is tricky, and we don't know how it's going to come out, so maybe both of you will be better served at this point to accept the pshara. So that's a just way of resolving it. But if I know for sure in the eyes of the Dayanim already know 100%, you will win and you will lose, then you can't treat the issue, you can't treat them together anymore and say we're going to offer this issue a fair resolution to both of you by ignoring the technicalities of din. And I'm asking you to give up what din would have given you. But I know for sure I'm asking you to give up the victory and you to, I'm asking you to give up an actual resolved issue. That's not fair anymore to both parties. That's basically just favoring one guy over the other. You're just favoring the loser over the winner. You can't show a favor in the pshara. So in other words, the point is Rashi is learning pshara is on a different focus. It's the focus of the balei dinim. Tosis is learning it's another way of resolving the issue by approaching it not from an adversarial standpoint, but by approaching it from a fairness to both parties. But once I know for sure that one guy is going to win and one guy is going to lose, then that makes it impossible for me to do pshara, because pshara I can't say. I'm just approaching it from, I'm benefiting both of you by giving up the din, because the din is definitely going to hurt one of you, I know for sure. I know who. basically just trying to save one guy. Notice Pshara is trying to save both of them from the chance of each one losing. That's what Pshara is. Pshara is we're going to treat you together. We're not going to look at the whole, we're just going to treat you like as a unit and just distribute the money in a fair way to both of you. But once in my mind, I know you win and you lose, now the Pshara is only benefiting one guy. I'm just basically trying to favor the guy who lost.
Is that the extra step right there that you were trying
Yeah. That's right. That it's not just an alternative, it has to be a fair to the parties. It has to be fairness to the parties.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
But it still would preserve Shalom.
Yes. It would still preserve Shalom, but Rashi holds, but Tosafot holds that's beyond, it has to remain within the issue. Rashi holds it can be in terms of the Gavras. Okay. Good question. All right, so the question is, what is there a benefit to that middle step of saying that Rashi is saying as long as the Bali Dinim are extant, you can do Pshara, and Tos is saying only until the issue is only as long as the issue is extant, you can do Pshara. Why did I say that gets you closer to resolving the question? Why is that any better than saying Rashi says after the Gemara, before the Gemara Din, and Tos says before the, they're about to give the Gemara Din? Right. Okay, so this is a good question. So I think we spoke about this a couple years ago. This Marshall, at least, that you had three guys in astronomy, three big guys in astronomy. Okay, who were the three guys that really were the?
Copernicus.
No. No, okay. Kepler,
Tycho,
Brian, and Newton. I mean, there are a lot of guys, but I'm saying you had Tycho Brahe, right? You had Kepler, and you had Newton. So what did each one do?
Tycho Brahe was a member of wrote down a lot of information.
Tycho Brahe, colorful character, wrote down a lot of information. He had a little island in Denmark, I think.
Tons of observations.
He just observed.
He was like a member of the clergy or something, I don't know.
Could be. I don't know.
He died a really terrible death.
Yes, yes. Boy, might have been poisoned, they say.
His bladder exploded.
Yes, but it might have been, I don't know, I read something about that. He might have been poisoned. But anyway, what did he do? He gathered facts. He had books and books of where every star was every night, every planet every night. He accumulated tons and tons of facts. Okay? He observed supernovae. I mean, he observed certain things. But he just had all the facts. Okay? All the facts. Very arrogant guy for just having facts, but he had all the facts. Okay? And what did Kepler do? He took all the facts and he formulated them, right, in certain systems and made certain observations about the facts. Not Soros. Certain observations about the facts.
Mathematics,
like I can show you ratios, and it looks like an ellipse, right, around the sun, right? And then you had Newton came along and tried to find laws for Kepler's... That would result in Kepler's formulations. Okay? So I'm saying like this. There are always three steps. Always three steps. So question: first, you got to get the facts. Just got to know the what. You got to know what's what. Okay? Tycho.
Are you recording this?
Yeah.
Good.
You got to get the facts. But from his heirs. Yeah, I don't know what it was. So you got to get the facts. You got to just know what's what. But then there's a certain level before Svara of recognizing relationships. Patterns. And that really requires a certain amount of svara, because you have to recognize that, oh, you know, I see that this is these motions must be related to a body. There must be a relationship between the bodies, like the sun, and I can see, I chart out the moon, the earth. I see there's a relationship between these entities. So there's some idea of this motion being influenced by something, by another body. But then it takes Newton to think through the svara, somewhat of a svara, of what exactly to sort of take that observation to the next level and see the underlying causes of a universal law of gravity or motion, things like that. Okay? So what I'm saying is that when you take a look at the first step and you say, he says, lifnei gemar din, he says, leafter gemar din, he says, literally after the psak, and Tosa says, after they have it in their mind, that's a good, we got the information, we have the facts. But now we need to find significance, a pattern, so to speak. We need to find what's the significance of the relationship that Rashi is putting together and that Tosa is putting together. In other words, what are sort of the elements? Copernicus was able to say, the elements that are important here obviously are speed and distance, but he didn't have it formulated. He was isolating, right? Kepler. Where to sort of dig deeper in your mind. You know what I mean? You need to sort of, you just have a million points of stars, you can't think. You can't work deeper into something. You need to have a first level of like first level observation of relationships and importances, and then you can really sit back and have something to focus your thought on and what to delve deeper into. So I'm saying that the first observation is sort of what we're trying to say. Well, look, let's look at what is the halachically speaking, what changes before and after for Tosfos, and what changes before and after for Rashi? And there's a good bet that shows us the key element of what Pshara is dependent on. And then we can think deeper into why should Pshara be dependent on this element for him and this element for him. So when we go beyond the pure facts, so Rashi says after the psak, and Tosa says after, we say, well, what does that mean halachically, in terms of halachic entities that we're familiar with? What does that mean? So we could say definitively, and we can make a little mathematical formula, that for Rashi it's the balei dinim have to exist, and for Tosa it's the issue has to exist. And that's much more than just saying factually it's before, it's at this point or that point. Right? Then we can try to work deeper into this far. It's not the end all. And what's good about it is you don't have to go further. You've gotten somewhere, even if you've just done that step. You've elevated it above facts. You put some basic idea that is almost certainly true. And that's why a lot of times in the brisker types of things, you'll see only that level. It seems like they're only going to go to that level. Because beyond that is already more speculation. This you could say, look, and this is what I try to do. This is what people should, what you should try to do when we do like a good bikkias. A good bikkias is you learn through the Gemara. You don't have to come up with a big svara, but you say, oh, I see that there's an inyan of this and this. There's a relationship between this and this. There's something that this sugya is dependent on certain factors. Oh, you're not ready to think into them deeper. Fine. But when you come to another sugya, if you have a good bikkias, is where you organize things in sort of a categorical way, right? If you're an absolute genius, you remember every single word you read, that's fine. But most of us aren't like that. So if you read through a Gemara, and then you get to the next Gemara, eventually you just can't remember all the facts. But if you, as you go through the Gemara, you make a note, oh, categorically speaking, this inyan pops up. Then a lot of times you'll notice when you're reading another inyan, another Gemara, it has the same inyan, you'll be able to remember, oh, that inyan I saw somewhere else. You know what I mean? Just facts, very hard to remember. Without relationships. The mind needs relationships to organize things. Okay. Here we go a little further. There's another little further also. But then there's another machlokas, huh? So then... Okay, yeah, it's good mashal.
Institution is.
Right. It's a lot of times, like you'll see in the brisker thing, it's like, there are two dinim here. Right? This is a din in this, and this is a din in that. And then I go any further? But like, sort of, okay, so, but why? Why? Yeah,
like,
you know?
The goblin is relevant here.
Yeah.
And so you don't know, like, what the formulation is that involves
right.
the goblin.
Right. Exactly. But the thing is, if you go further and you're not sure, the thing is, well, the benefit is you can say, you can move forward and be almost certainly be correct. And leave it for another day. If you just jump from the facts to a svara, that's a lot of speculation and you don't know if you have anything. I think they held it's better to be sure of what you have than just propose things that might be.